Hi, welcome to another Demo Time discussion. Today we explore why hotel guests ask so many questions, the gold standards of hotel guest communication, and the challenges hoteliers face in that area. Joining us for this conversation is Sean from HiJiffy, one of our expert partners. Sean is the country lead for HiJiffy in the UK and Ireland. As well as discussing the challenges hoteliers face with guest communications, Sean will also give us a quick demo of how HiJiffy's AI works in practice and how straightforward the setup is thanks to recent developments. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, thanks for joining us today, Sean. Much appreciated. Before we dive into our conversation, I think it would make sense if you could just give us a brief introduction as to who you are. That would be wonderful.
Absolutely, Trevor. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm Sean, country lead for the UK and Ireland at HiJiffy, and I'm delighted to be talking about more the guest insights into how they ask questions, how they sort of have frequently asked topics that need answering to before their journey, during their journey, or even post-stay after checkout. So let's dive into it.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. So, as is typical on these demo time talks that we do, we start by looking at an issue hoteliers have to deal with, then we try and unpick it a little bit, and then we look at a possible solution, which is obviously why you guys from HiJiffy are here talking to us today. So, as you've already intimated, we're focusing around the hotel guests, the often overwhelming number of questions that they ask. And I guess more importantly, the challenges and implications of that for hoteliers. So I want to kick off with a really kind of straightforward, easy question to get things rolling. Why do guests ask so many questions? You know, what are the common reasons? What are the common areas or questions that they're driving into?
So I think it's a great question. And to unpick it, there's different layers to it, Trevor. Essentially, it started out with chat solutions, firstly, being available to customers, whether it be on an e-commerce site, a hotel website, you name it. And the customer was just unable to get the answer. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, now when guests dive into questioning, they're looking for a prompt response. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're not waiting for a 12 to 24 hour response. And that's typically what we see on an email channel. So if you imagine, Trevor, you're about to travel and you're just conscious about, okay, does the hotel have parking? And you can't find that on the website. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be a nightmare to your travel plans. Do you travel with the car? Do you travel by train or and so on? So it's a simple thing as to just getting information. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, it stems then down into information overload. They might have come across an OTA website which did talk about parking, and then the hotel website didn't mention the parking on the website itself, but it may be within the booking engine and okay, so on yeah. and so forth. So, but then it goes on to the next layer of questions. Is it electric parking? Is there an underground parking? Is it a secure parking? How much does it cost? And so on. So there's different layers to it, and more importantly, customers, yes, are impatient. They are also lazy. They expect things at a touch of a button. And it's providing this clarity and reassurance to them as they go about their guest journey on whichever channel they're on. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, the look and feel has to be part of the brand and hotel as well.
Okay? And I guess the hotel website can play a positive or negative point, because sometimes there's so much information, it's quite hard to find out what you actually need when you have a simple question.
Exactly. And a lot of marketeers in hospitality are very heavily focused on, okay, what does their guest journey look like? How do they build their website in, let's say, a pre-stay phase? So before mm-hmm. a customer has booked, what type of leads are they targeting? So what demographic of customer? And more importantly, when navigating through the website, does the customer get the core information that they're looking for? Mm-hmm. If you offer, for example, afternoon tea, and I'm on your dining section, can I see that as the first sort of introduction to the dining page? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that I already need to start questioning and asking the options, the pricing, and so on? So a lot of that it's all about the empathy if you think about it, and more importantly, how would a customer navigate through a website?
Mm-hmm.
Are they adhering to their right demographic and customers' needs? And
Mm-hmm.
more importantly, do they provide the necessary answers around any potential questions, if you like, that might come through?
Yeah, because I guess, you know, your plans could change, an issue could come up, you want to maybe reach out. That could be another reason why you're contacting the hotel or want to contact the hotel. There may be special requests or, you know, just something that is quite unique to you. I mean, those are good, genuine reasons why people reach out that could be quite difficult to answer generically or even to access, maybe find the right space in a website. Yeah.
Correct. And if you take the use case of, okay, let's say there's strikes on the train tracks and so
mm-hmm.
on, and a guest is about to travel, there's a sense of urgency when they're messaging through. Then it doesn't mean from a sentiment perspective that they're upset or angry or need to cancel at all. They just expect an instantaneous answer
mm-hmm.
based on whether they can cancel, modify their reservation, how do they go about doing it, or if they arrive late in the evening, what would their check-in process look like, and so on. So
yep.
Guests sometimes don't give you the full context as to what's going on in their life and so on.
Yeah.
But more importantly, if they do on an email, then their expectations are really through the roof, and they expect, okay, if they're paying for a hotel in the luxury segment, that hotel can deliver their particular service or the request that they're looking for, and more importantly, understand their needs as a customer. So,
where do things like challenges around language barriers or even accessibility if somebody has a particular disability, for instance. I mean, those kind of very straightforward, obvious issues can also be challenging and prompt somebody to have to reach out directly and not be able to resolve it through the website, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And another factor there is that if you do take a website, more importantly for hotels, let's just take the UK market, for example,
mm-hmm.
it's extremely costly to get those websites translated
mm-hmm.
Into multiple languages. And from a customer's perspective, it's not as though the hotel is not adhering to them as a customer.
Yeah.
If I speak French and I expect the website to be in French, yes, I could use Google Translate to do that, but then less likely to do that, you could say. But more importantly, are they able to get their questions answered in French? And when it comes
good
to
point.
Accessibility, that's a different kind of request, but more
mm-hmm.
importantly, it needs the special attention there as well,
mm-hmm.
Where a guest with a disability, for example, might need to access a room on a certain level,
mm-hmm.
could be ground floor, that it has elevator access if necessary to different parts of the hotel and so on. And there's a lot of consideration that goes in place when actually filtering through and selecting that hotel. So during this lead stage, if you like, when the customer has all these questions and is preparing for their travel, there is different sort of special requests that do come through
mm-hmm.
and different forms of communication that need to adhere to in different tiers, if you like, as well. I like to group them into three tiers, where
mm-hmm.
it would be a tier one is your mundane request. That's the standard stuff that you can find on the website.
Yep.
Tier two is the opportunity for a guest to potentially need an agent, but it's a next level request on from the mundane request.
Mm-hmm.
And a tier three is like, okay, we definitely need to be speaking to an agent at this point. And that will fulfill the guest gen ultimately. And it is hospitality. So when it comes down to conversational AI, we're not looking at removing the human element at all,
no.
But more importantly, enhancing the customer experience where necessary, so that guests can be speaking to agent at the hotel level at any point as well.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, through the points that you were highlighting there, one of the things that continually came out is the need to respond and the level of expectation from the guest. I mean, responding to any question is obviously important. You guys, when I look at the articles that you write and the thought leadership pieces, you obviously are always advocating, striving for a communications gold standard. What would you say are some of the critical factors that need to be considered for something to be perceived as gold standard?
It's a very good question. And we'd list it down into, let's say, five potential factors, where response times is fundamental. Really, it doesn't matter the type of business, whether it be budget, boutique, or ultra luxury segment. Guests having paid or reserved for a reservation, they always have a certain level of expectation, and they will always expect quick responses based on any kind of question that they have. And they won't group their questioning into tiers as well. So they will expect, whether it's a parking request or cancellation or modification of their reservation, that they get the response time in the same amount of time, no matter the question.
Yeah.
And then it's down to the accuracy and clarity. It comes back to that information overload. There's tons of information on the website. It could be different information on different OTA sites. A lot of hotels have this problem of content management solutions where they haven't sort of got the right up-to-date content on different platforms that they work with. Mm-hmm. Their websites might not show all of the offerings as well, and their booking engine might show more in relation to the room types and so on. And then it's this personalized service. So how can you really make sure that you are delivering the service that appeals to your brand, but more importantly, appeals to the type of guest that would want to be staying with yourself? So tone of voice and the way you sort of reply to your guests, the type of service. So if it's ultra luxury, you have certain SLAs that you need to meet so that you are able to deliver a high-end luxury experience as well. And then it's the helpfulness, really, professionalism of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So again, doesn't matter the segment that you're in, it is hospitality at the end of the day. It's a people's business. So guests do expect that, you know, the team is there really to support them if they have any questions and so on. And then consistency across all the channels. So
yeah, good point.
Really, it's linking back again to the accuracy and clarity. How accurate are each of the platforms that you work with? But it shouldn't matter to me whether I log in on a social channel or whether I log in on your website. If I'm on Instagram because a friend of mine stayed at the hotel and I'm keen to book this hotel because they stayed there as well, and I have a few questions, I'm on Instagram, why can't I get the same answers that I can on the website?
As a guest, you see yourself as just communicating with the hotel. You don't question what channel am I using. I'm like, I just want an answer to my question. So can I have an answer, please? That makes sense. Okay, so without irritating you, because that's not my intention of a guest, those 5 points that you highlighted there, they all seem pretty understandable, fairly logical. There wasn't any, you know, respond, accurate, clarity, personalization, helpful, professionalism, consistency. You know, they're not hugely radical in terms of achieving a gold level standard. So there's obviously reasons why that level is hard to achieve. What are the typical, you know, day to day, you're out there working with hotel clients all the time. What are the common obstacles hoteliers face? What is getting in the way on a day to day basis of being able to achieve those five critical factors?
It's a very good point that you mentioned there, Trevor, as well. And let's just wind back the clock. I think a lot of us have sort of feel happy that the dust has settled post-pandemic, and we've sort of forgotten that that happened, but it did happen. And it took away 2 years of our lives. And more importantly, it has had a drastic impact on the hospitality sector. I still go to hotels in the UK and they tell me that they have a problem hiring talented hospitality staff.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to having a problem of hiring staff, then you need to train them. More importantly, they haven't maybe worked in the hospitality industry before. So there is that challenge in itself. And we're still seeing a massive impact when we say, as a general term, on staff shortages. The Europe alone, for example, had an impact of 1.2 million people leaving the industry. And more importantly, a lot of those team members didn't come back to the industry. They thought, okay, it's my opportunity to find something else that I'm more suited to, or a 9-to-5 job, or an office job, and so on. And that's the reality of it. And the guests don't go away. So that's the fun
Hopefully not. No,
part, right?
exactly.
So the guests are still keen to travel. A lot of people that didn't travel during the pandemic are now relentless to book their holidays and get out and explore. And it doesn't matter where they're exploring. Are they a local traveler or an international traveler? They will have those expectations. We've talked about them already. And I think that the staff shortages then quickly links on to the volume of requests that come in. So if you imagine a medium-sized hotel, for example, maybe 100 rooms, if you like, the queries can just vary between calls, emails, social media messages, and so on. Does the hotel have a chat solution as well on the website or not? And are there other means of communication that they're having to adhere to as well? So it's all down to that factor then. So how many staff members are able to manage X amount of emails, calls that come through? More importantly, how scattered are those conversations? Are they across multi-channel communication platforms or not? And is it different team members that are responding to those queries or not? So marketing might be responding to social requests. But then again, social channels are very different. Facebook is more of your rudimentary channel, if you like. It's been around for a long time. There you might have more general inquiries, as opposed to Instagram is more your influencers that are keen to maybe add some marketing material for the hotel, maybe looking for a free night, whatever it may be. But that comes with a different tone of voice and also a different guest expectation. So it needs to be adhered to by the right team members. And then it's something that we've spoken about already. Again, language barriers. How many sort of international customers are you dealing with? Are you in a big city like London, Manchester, Edinburgh, and so on, where there's tons of international guests that are now keen to travel? Are you in your peak periods or not? And can you be filling your rooms with international customers? But more importantly, are you able to speak to those customers in their preferred language? And then it's the knowledge gap. So with all of this in place, how knowledgeable are your staff of all of the offerings that the hotel has? Am I going to call the hotel and then sort of get told, no, you know, the booking.com price is better, and so on? I've had this on a number of occasions when actually the direct price is the better option.
Oh, really? Wow.
But it's really up to the hotel team to know the intricacies of the hotel, the ins and outs of it, the industry as a whole. And I think all of this together has just created this need for more automation and conversational AI in the sector.
And I guess the staff shortage element that you mentioned at the beginning could also lead into the knowledge gap piece because, you know, if we've got new staff joining, they have to be trained. If you've lost someone who've been with the hotel for 2, 3 years, knows it all pretty well, and now you've got somebody that's been with you 2, 3 months, there's naturally going to be a potential gap in their knowledge as they're gaining that experience, aren't they?
Absolutely right. And the thing is, it's okay, like I mentioned, it might be gaps in knowledge, but as well content that's scattered across different platforms. So you might have a very talented, knowledgeable hospitality team member that recently joined the team, but just simply doesn't have the content where they need it to be able to deliver the answer. And like I said, if I'm calling up, you don't want to be told, look, we'll call you back to give you the answer on what's the pool temperature, can my children swim in the pool, and so on. Is there a baby pool? Whatever it may be.
But and that leads me on because again, we can all a lot of people can talk through what some of the challenges are or what we should be doing, but we don't always connect those dots as to what the implications actually mean if you don't get it right. Because it's all well to say, oh, I'm not doing this quite right, I could improve it, but what's the actual cost to the hotel itself? And I mean, you've given two examples there. You know, if someone was looking at making a booking and they had to wait 24 hours to get a response to what they perceive as a very simple request, well, you potentially have lost that booking. If the conversation comes in where it's, oh, well, actually, the price on booking.com is cheaper, even if it isn't, well, you may still get the booking, but you've now got your commission. So the actual net revenue that you get just taking off that guest acquisition cost is less. So, I mean, there are some serious implications around something that could seem, that should seem so simple around answering guest requests. What do you kind of see? What are the implications? Maybe I've highlighted obviously two of the bigger ones, but what other factors do you see that are implications around getting this wrong?
I think there's a number of implications there, but you mentioned, I think, the biggest one, and I would like to just add on to what you said. So we typically refer to it as a dropout. So anyone that's made the effort to go to the website, we have to firstly consider how much effort the hotel has put to get the guest on that website. There's a numerous amount of effort that goes into SEO just to get your listing or website sort of ranked high on Google. Then are you paying for meta search? So competing with the OTAs, with other platforms that are listing your price, for example, to make sure that you drive the traffic direct. Once the guest has reached there, now you've started your guest experience. It's as though I've walked into your hotel and you know, I'm already got my first impressions of the hotel. What does it smell like, feel like, and so on. But a lot of guests are now experiencing that on websites. If the website is clunky, if the website doesn't provide the right experience compared to your guest stay and your hotel experience, then naturally, yes, you will lose the customer. But when it comes down to conversations, requests, and so on, the loss of that customer can be massive. It can really be drastic. When you look at, okay, how long does it take a customer to get an answer? And if they drop out to an OTA site, it doesn't mean that they'll naturally book the same hotel that they visited.
Well, suddenly they're visiting somewhere that has a lot of other hotels in competition, don't they?
Exactly. When you pull up a listing, for example, in the London area on an OTA website, you're bombarded with tons of information. And it might be another property that's ranked higher than the property that the guest was initially on. So that hotel website guest journey is fundamental. And here we're not saying that the chat will actually drastically change that customer experience. We're just saying that if you're providing a 24/7 service, which is exactly what hotels offer, it doesn't naturally mean that you need to have a team member on site, but you need to be able to deliver any frequently asked question at the time and appreciate the level of effort that your guests have gone through to come across different listings, your website, and so on. And that's your opportunity for revenue, to convert them as simple as possible. And that conversion process, a lot of marketeers, again, are putting a lot of emphasis on, okay, how many clicks does it actually take? Does the guest have to go through a journey of starting a booking journey, then off to a new booking engine, and so on? Does the booking engine replicate what kind of image they're portraying on their website as well? Does it provide all the amenities and services too? So there's a lot of fundamentals that go in place there. And I think fundamentally, here's the opportunity for a hotel to say, okay, right, it doesn't matter which guest landed on our website. That's the opportunity for us to convert that customer and not lose them. Because then the implication later down the line is, if you're building a loyalty program or looking at retaining this customer as a return guest, then have they booked on booking.com to start with, or have they booked on your website, and what was the experience on either or? And here's where the OTAs are heavily competing as well, creating, for example, with booking.com, genius programs and so on, loyalty programs on their sites. They're obviously as well using generative AI to tailor different customer searches and make sure that if Trevor stayed in X location and requested a pool and these sort of amenities in his room, that his next stay will be very personalized and matching to his previous preferences and so on, so that you continue to purchase on their sites. And naturally, yes, they'll benefit from the commission costs that they charge.
That makes sense. Yeah.
If the guest was to book on the hotel website, then that guest experience starts from that journey and ends from the moment they check out. So that's the hotel opportunity as well.
You've mentioned in amongst that conversation, two key words being chatbots and AI. We know that technology plays a larger part now in solving problems within hotels. So without diving into your solution yet, because we're going to look at that in a moment, could you at least just position, firstly, how technology helps, what technology we may experience that helps in this guest communication aspect? And then a subpart of that answer is how AI has come in to evolve that experience that we might have as a guest.
Absolutely. So I think it's important to break down the technology itself and start off at its conception, so its origins as well. And from our perspective as well, we've founded the company simply as a simple chat solution. So it was initially just an extension of Facebook, for example, that was deployed on the website and of a hotel, for example. And more importantly, just doing a FAQ-based answer. So if you are to trigger a particular keyword, it will trigger the response.
Gotcha.
And as simple as that. And outside of the realm of that, it wasn't really conversational AI. It was simply a chatbot designed to do a task that was typically performed by a human, where if I called up and asked about parking, but instead on a chatbot, I simply ask parking, it gives me all the information on parking.
Gotcha.
So naturally, yes, it led to a lot of customers that thought these solutions were capable of delivering more than that, where they were knocking on doors and just not getting the answer, getting frustrated and so on.
Yep, been there. Exactly.
And during this process of building an AI engine, I'll take HiJiffy and explain exactly what we did and how we went about it. It was firstly developing our own AI engine, which is focused on natural language processing.
That
is the ability for a computer to understand human language in its written and spoken form and then provide answers on that. Okay. When an engine is able to do that, then naturally we were able to then say, okay, what are some fundamentals that we should be focusing on within our AI engine so that it's not just a standard chat solution that could be deployed on an e-commerce site or
sometimes you see like a banking website or something like that, you know, ask me this question.
Or an airline website.
Yep.
But fundamentally, for the hospitality sector, what do we need to take into consideration to build this at the core? So it was really built around guest intent, sentiment analysis, continuous learning, and user behavior. And really what we saw was, yes, the pandemic fueled our growth. The need for these solutions really came to light. And fundamentally, we were finding that technology was advancing at a rate that we were also struggling to keep up with. From the moment that GPT-4 got deployed, that's when this whole realm of AI then got taken to the next level. And when we think of what AI is simply the ability for a machine to perform tasks that was typically performed by a human. But generative AI is the ability to use neural networks, source data, and then curate information based on that data. And naturally, that then adds this whole new era of guest communication and accuracy in guest responses. So we found that fundamentally, it's important to have this GPT-4 piece as an extra layer to our engine rather than the core of our engine, so that we can always play around with it. We can choose to mix and match. We can have OpenAI today and move to Google Bard or a different platform in the future based on how it evolves and how it develops. And fundamentally, we don't lose sight of what our actual goal is, which is to connect travelers with their destination of choice through conversational AI. And we're just looking at making sure that we're best in class, okay? And when we look at things from a different standpoint, from the guest point of view, it's technology has evolved around us. We all have, for example, a laptop. We may have a tablet. We may have different cell phones or a particular cell phone that's our preferred option, whether it's iOS or Android and so on. And they continuously evolve. More importantly, cell phones, yes, get bigger and bigger. So even texting sometimes is difficult. So can we deliver voice assistance? Can we answer to voice notes? And that was a big piece for us as well, is making sure that depending on the medium that the guest is using, are they texting or are they using a voice note? Can we deliver the answer? And more importantly, we found that different vendors as well did their research and made sure they understood exactly what's happening in this space of AI and how guests are behaving. And from a study with Oracle in 2022, we found that over 67% of travelers are interested in staying at hotels that actually deliver and use AI. And then 36% of hotel guests would opt for a fully contactless experience. So I like to name these customers as a faceless customer. If you imagine someone that walks through your doors, doesn't have any interaction with your staff, but simply has a digital check-in experience and walks to their room, room's ready for them, they stay at the hotel, they do their automated checkout, and they're out of the hotel the next day. That does exist. And more importantly, yes, there are hotels that can offer a fully contactless experience. But yes, there are faceless travelers, ones that sort of prefer to have less interaction with the staff or are maybe more introverted in their way of being, and they prefer just simply to go about their things on their own and would find the information on their cell phone device and so on. Or they're simply there on a business trip and don't have the time and they're
Yeah,
running
good point.
between meetings on a
Yeah.
regular basis. So
Yeah.
there's a
Okay.
number of factors in place, but I think it's making sure that we combine all the elements to deliver a solution that's really hospitality focused.
Very good. Well, you're going to show us a little bit, so we're just going to pause for a moment and we'll set up the screen share. So if you go ahead and do
Absolutely.
that would be great.
So, to begin with, Trevor, I think it's firstly fundamental for us to unpick exactly what, again, does Hi Jiffy do? So, Hi Jiffy, as a guest communication hub, our fundamental goal is to connect travelers with their destination of choice through conversational AI. These travelers then can obviously use their preferred channel to communicate with the hotel. And it doesn't matter which channel the guest is on, but ultimately the same conversations are able to be answered to across those channels as well. So making sure that we adhere to all the potential channels that the customers are on and act and look and feel like the hotel. So we really want to be an additional arm to the hotel, act as an additional team member, but through digital communication. Okay.
Gotcha.
When we look at our guest journey, it's split out into multiple phases of the guest journey. Putting it in simplistic forms, we're looking at a pre-stay or pre-booking stage and then looking at an in-stay phase. Okay. And in the pre-stay or pre-booking phase, ultimately, before the customer has booked, while they're still a lead or they may have a booking, but they're just there to clarify something else. Our goal is to simply act as a sales funnel. No matter what channel that we're on, we're really looking to answer to any potential customer service queries that come through, qualify that lead, and make sure that we then convert the lead. In the qualification process, that links back to my point earlier, where it's fundamental for hotels not to lose their team members in this guest journey at all and use that human element. Have the fallback to live chat and make sure that the guest is able to then converse with an agent in live form as well. And then work towards that chat-based booking again.
Makes
Okay.
sense. Yep.
Then the channels that we split on, obviously, it's then the website. So that would be Hi Jiffy's logo, which is web chat, Facebook, Instagram, Google, WeChat, Line, Telegram. On the in-stay phase, it's really that we are then working towards connecting to the property management system. Okay. So that's the biggest difference with the pre-booking phase is that we're really working towards driving a chat-based booking. That means the connection to the booking engine, in-stay property management system, where then across WhatsApp, and now why we choose WhatsApp, over 90% of travelers use WhatsApp across the European markets, across UK and Ireland as well. It's a channel that guests message family and friends on. So exactly
Yeah,
in
it's very
that,
familiar, isn't it?
exactly. It's very familiar. And in that realm, we want hotels to be able to converse with their customers or guests as though they are family and friends as well. Okay. And make sure it's not impersonal at all. It's intuitive and drives the information where necessary at any point throughout the guest journey. And fundamentally, we sit within the inbox of WhatsApp. So it's always quick and easy for a guest to open up WhatsApp again. They can be in and around London while they've already checked in, but they're simply asking for an additional towel in the room and so on. So yes, then it means we can do additional integrations and connect to maintenance task management systems and so on to automate that process. So if you request a towel in the room, that you don't need to call up front desk, and front desk don't need to call up housekeeping to get the towel to the room. So this journey can evolve depending on the hotel, depending on the offering, and more importantly, it's really up to each hotel to personalize this as much as they can and make this piece an additional arm to their guest journey. And fundamentally, it should act like a virtual concierge solution. If you imagine walking down to the concierge, but instead you're simply doing
Do
this
it
all on a
digitally.
message form as well.
Makes
So,
sense.
as a fallback to WhatsApp, in case the guest isn't on WhatsApp, yes, SMS being targeted there. We understand email is still used on a regular basis. So, yes, you can centralize your emails to Hi Jiffy, but we won't really target it because, yes, there are CRM platforms that do email targeting and so on. But primarily, we're here for the chat or messaging platforms like WhatsApp. And then a big piece for us in this phase here is the voice notes. So, how effective are they and can they really work towards delivering an answer? Yes, is the answer to that. They are very effective. And more importantly, like I mentioned, cell phones getting bigger. It means that everyone on the move sort of expects things in an instantaneous form. But also, you can't expect a guest to stop on the street in London and send you a text message. If they want to send a voice note, by all means, they can do. And that's our goal, is to understand the intent, deliver the answer based on that intent.
Very
Okay.
good. Very good.
So from pre-arrival, working our way through to the stay itself and then departure, there's multiple sort of campaign messaging that a hotel can build out to tailor their guest journey. And then really different intricacies that can be put into place here. So a digital check-in, like I mentioned, so that fully contactless experience or simple requests in-house or promoting upselling options as well. Can you drive the guest to your bar or restaurant when you're running happy hours and so on? And on checkout, can you build this loyal customer? So if they have booked on booking.com, that's not a problem because yes, we understand hotels that are working with OTAs deal with encrypted emails. So they don't have enough guest data. Data is everything in this day and age. And fundamentally here, at this phase here, all it takes is a simple message across WhatsApp because the hotels have the guest telephone number. You are able to then message the guests across WhatsApp and say, look, you booked on an OTA site today, but would you be interested in our loyalty program and so on, and retarget them for their next stay
Makes sense.
on checkout.
Yeah, very good.
Perfect. So that summarizes our guest journey. What I had in mind as well today, Trevor, was to take you through our AI knowledge scanner. So
Yeah, go
big
for it.
piece in building this out. And before I jump into it, I'll just explain. Yes, we did face a lot of hotels that were sort of going through the onboarding phase with us and saying, yeah, it's a teething process because you've got all these frequently asked questions that need to be filled out. And yes, we have over 160 topics. And you can imagine for each hotel to sort of personalize that with groups, you have then 160 topics per hotel. So it's a lot of content. And coming back to that content management solution and so on, a lot of hotels don't have that, but a lot of hotels have the websites or deal with web agencies and so on. So our goal is that all of the AI that's built for each hotel is based around those topics and information. So those endpoints are key for us to be able to deliver answers. So we're just as good as the data that the hotel provides us. Now, in
Makes
order to
sense.
make that process as seamless as possible, especially at the early stage here of getting this part set up, it's as simple as uploading a document into Hi Jiffy that will then pick and sort of assess all the different attributes that the hotel has to offer and
Right.
group them into the right FAQs via
Just with
our
a
AI
single,
model.
just with a simple doc.
Just with a simple doc. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is make sure that the hotels can go live as soon as possible and then tailor their content as they go along. But more importantly, that information then gets deployed throughout the guest journey. So it's not lost, whether I ask parking in the in-stay phase, so pre-arrival, as opposed to parking in pre-booking phase. It doesn't matter. That information is now
still there.
Within Hi Jiffy, so it means it's online across all your channels as well.
Oh, very good, yeah.
So let's dive into that, and I'll pull up firstly what the Hi Jiffy dashboard looks like. It's just a quick and easy solution for any agent or any hotel team member to jump in and see what's going on today in terms of the conversations that have come through, automation rates and so on, or any unsolved queries that are still pending an answer. But when it comes down to the initial setup, so we do have all the tabs that we have here on the left, but fundamentally we'll dive into the properties. Imagine now being a brand new hotel on the Hi Jiffy platform. Firstly, you'll set up your property name, design the first key core elements to the chat solution, naming the property itself, but then quickly diving onto the chatbot knowledge base.
Okay.
As I talked about here, it's a simple Word doc that gets uploaded into Hi Jiffy. It's really our opportunity to then take the content that's existing that the hotel has and directly upload it into Hi Jiffy so that we can then curate responses based on that content.
Gotcha.
So to quickly show you what this content piece looks like, it's just a quick Word doc with all information about the property. So about the property, amenities, 24/7 front desk staff and so on. And we'll focus on breakfast today. Okay, Trevor, just to
as an example.
Just let's focus on breakfast. It's at €17 per person and there is a buffet breakfast available. Okay. So just to show you that and how that would look, once I've uploaded my document, I then go into the chatbot knowledge base. So this is where our AI engine is connected and where we have that extra layer of GPT-4. And selecting then a topic on breakfast, I'll just quickly go in here and select the breakfast topic.
Okay. Gotcha. Yep.
So we don't want the solution to automatically add answers. As I said, the data is only as good as what's fed to us, right? We want the hotel to still see exactly what their answers will look like online before they set it up.
Makes sense.
So more importantly, because the document's been uploaded, it doesn't mean that we've lost that information. We have that content, but essentially I just need to generate that answer now. And it will provide me the answer that we've pulled from that document. So independent hotel offers a daily buffet breakfast for a fee of €17 per person. Guests can enjoy a variety of food and drink options to start their day. It's as simple as answers that.
Right.
And you can then choose to regenerate that answer and so on to make sure that, okay, it suits your tone of voice or personalize it the way you want, okay? And ultimately, thereby replacing that current answer, that will feed in here. And then essentially, it's up to the hotel team to save those changes and that immediately goes online, okay?
Very good.
So that's the fundamentals of it. We really want to make sure that the hotels don't need to type out every single response that needs an answer in our topics. But more importantly, to add this now into the live chat environment, we've added in a whole piece on our AI power tools. Okay. So if we take, Trevor, the same use case on a guest requesting information on breakfast, but why the solution wasn't able to deliver an answer is because the guest immediately requested to speak to an agent.
Okay.
That means the guest has fallen back to live chat. It's out of the automation piece now. And it means then, yes, a team member will get back to the guest as soon as possible. And that's me, for example, saying, hello, Rick, how can I help? And Rick's question is, hi, can you tell me more about your breakfast options? So I typed out this response. And let's say, Trevor, I'm not in the right mindset. I feel maybe this particular message could be too formal for Rick. It's too formal for our tone of voice of our hotel and doesn't really suit our brand image. So I can use my AI power tools here and rewrite this or change the tone of voice and so on. And I can make it more informal, for example.
Okay.
And let's see what comes up. So instead of saying, hello, Rick, and so on, and going into a long-ended answer, it's, hey, Rick, we've got both an order what you want breakfast menu and an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet. Okay. So it's it's a different kind of message. If I'm still not happy with that, by all means, then I can shorten it and see what happens here. Hello, Rick. We offer an à la carte and buffet breakfast priced at 17 euros from 6 to 10 a.m. daily. And okay, if that's more suited to me, I'll insert that answer and hit send. And ultimately, that's my response to Rick. And if Rick's got further questions, by all means, he can jump in and ask. Okay,
Very
it's as
good.
simple as that.
Very simple.
And ultimately, here, for any topics that hotels have or are missing an answer, we've always got our missing FAQs or notification section here that will populate content that's missing an answer, and it will direct the hotel team directly into the chatbot knowledge base here so that they can continuously amend and improve these answers. And more importantly, for the luxury segment, when certain answers don't deliver the right answer that the guest was looking for, we ask the customer for that feedback so they can share a thumbs up, thumbs down button, and provide the feedback on why they weren't able to get their response. And naturally, as a continuous learning process, it's then up to us as Hi Jiffy, as well as the hotel team, to continuously making sure that this solution suits their style of guest and, more importantly, acts as an additional arm to their team.
Very
Okay.
good. Very good. So we got you back. That was very good. Thank you. And yes, with all of these things, there's always a little bit of work that's needed to be done up front from both sides. And I guess that's where you obviously will help out any of new clients. And we'll talk about kind of the onboarding piece in a moment. But I think, what was very clear is there may be a little bit of time invested at the beginning, but that time that then could be saved much later on because you're freeing that up is, that in itself is a would appear to be a worthwhile investment. Quick question for you. Chatbots. Some people have a bit of fun trying to trick chatbots to give them all kind of spurious answers. I know of one person I was talking with a couple of months ago that say they like testing it to see if it would give them the recipe for a lasagna. It's like they call it the lasagna test. How do you guys build in sort of safeguards to kind of flesh out and deal with those spurious random requests?
It's a very good point that you mentioned there. And this is why we were quite meticulous on how we should build this engine. Building it around intent, sentiment analysis, continuous learning, and user behavior enables us to understand, okay, what type of customers does this particular hotel deal with? And then using GPT-4, yes, we do know that GPT-4 can have different illusions and go off on a tangent, different things. But we really want to set it in a setting of, for example, a dog on a lead as opposed to a dog in a park that's not on a lead. We really want to make sure that this is a trained dog that understands exactly the intricacies of the hotel, what the standard is, and more importantly, what type of guests they're dealing with, so it can pick up on whether the guest is sad or upset with a particular part in their journey, or furious that things have gone wrong, so that we can prioritize on those queries. But yes, naturally, there's a lot of guests out there that simply want to put these solutions to the test. And I know that's something that I encounter as well with hotel teams that speak to me on a regular basis. They're sort of putting it on the test while I'm speaking to them. But naturally, there are many more guests. I would say it's 95% of customers are actually there to get their answer delivered,
Obviously, the most of them want to
depending on
use it
their
in the right
state
way.
of. And the 5% that are there to play around with, if we are able to deliver an answer, then great, we'll provide the answer. For example, if Trevor, you're looking for the nearest nightclub or whatever it may be, then yes, if we have that information, we'll provide it. If not, we'll tell the guest that we don't have that information and immediately fall back. So we don't want that rudimentary style of chat where it's just knocking on doors, not getting the answer. We'll immediately trigger the flow to fall back to live chat and collect the guest data in that stage as well. So asking the guest for a name, asking them for an email address. So yes, maybe if the guest was playing around or customer was playing around to begin with, but they may still have the intent to book in the future, the hotel team can still retarget that guest. They'll have their email address and name so that they can say, look, hey Trevor, we saw you were on our chat solution on Ask XYZ. Are you still interested in
Yeah,
staying
that makes
with
a lot of
us
sense.
in the
Makes a lot
future?
of sense. Very quickly, because I'm conscious of your time. A question anyone would have, let's say they've been listening, they resonate with the problems we were talking about at the beginning. They saw the excellent demo piece and thought, right, okay, got my attention. I'm up for having some further conversations. But the biggest question, and it comes back to some of the points you highlighted before, the reason I'm looking at this is because I'm time poor. The reason I'm looking at this is because I don't have a lot of staff. So if I engage in a new technology solution, I need to onboard it. Do I have the time? I mean, how long, what is an onboarding process like?
Exactly right. I think that's fundamental for any hotelier who's looking to new technology to really take that into consideration. I get asked a lot the question on, look, how long does it take for us to go live, or how many human hours does it require from our end? Our goal is to help the hoteliers and guide them through this journey. More importantly, we have a mixed bag of customers, some that will have tried out chat solutions before, others that are not aware of it or how it could impact their guests, other hotels that simply don't know. They might be in a big city, they don't know what type of customers they're
Yeah,
dealing with
fair point.
and
Yeah.
how a customer will engage with their platform. So our goal is really to take this leap of faith together with the hotel and make sure that we can go live as soon as possible, because that's the only way we'll learn. This solution has to be in a live environment for us to pick up on tone of voice, understand the type of demographic, languages that come through, and so on. Should we set the solution out in multiple languages so that guests can then get their responses in their preferred language? But the pre-booking phase, ultimately, we want to be able to go live as soon as possible. So anything between 1 to 5 business days, that's our target. And
Okay.
it's that document upload that helps us achieve that target as well. And then it's naturally taking that leap of faith with the hotelier and setting the solution up together. And then it's as simple as, okay, do we go live via a script or on Google Tag Manager so it's deployed on the website to begin with? And then we can work towards social channels in the future or set them live on the same day. So it's really down as well to the hoteliers to take that leap of faith with us. And our internal metric is to achieve a minimum of 80% automation from go live, and then really work our way up from that so that we can deliver responses that are in that second tier, coming back to my point earlier, in that second tier of requests, as opposed to the mundane first tier requests only. Our goal is really to be in that transitionary phase of tier 2, tier 3 requests, where before the guests actually ask the agent a question, they are able to then get the answer in an automated fashion, and they enjoy chatting. If you get a personalized response, you'll continue chatting without thinking of whether you're chatting to a bot or with an
No, it
agent
doesn't
as
matter.
well.
No, I think.
So that pre-booking phase is fundamental. The next phase is really down to WhatsApp, and that's where we're sort of held hostage in that WhatsApp piece. Yes, there's a lot of verifications that get put in place, but it doesn't impact the AI that gets put in place for Intercape. So the WhatsApp piece takes slightly longer. It's roughly on 2 months to get a number approved, verified, and ready for setup. And then our team will guide the process there on which campaign should be built, send out templates, and so on. So really, the amount of man hours is minimal. And then it's just us that will train the team. Depending on whether they need live agent training or front desk training and so on, whether it's just senior team members, for example, marketing, revenue, distribution, or IT that need different insights to the
No,
solution, what our offering is.
and that makes sense. And I think that's both as an answer, both fair and honest, because each use case will be different. Each requirement of the hotel will be different. So, when someone comes out and says, oh, yes, onboarding within X number of days, it's like, well, hold on, a 20 room boutique hotel who's not necessarily worried about the WhatsApp bit at this stage, but wants to do the pre-booking is going to be very different to a 200 room city hotel that wants to go all in. So, yeah, no, I think that's very fair. That's pretty much covered off everything we wanted to discuss. So really, it's just Over to you for any kind of final thoughts, final message that you want to give.
No, I think it's been a really insightful discussion. But from our perspective, we're always looking to be at the forefront of conversational AI. Yes, we are also learning in this process. Mm-hmm. There's no solution out there that's perfect. But more importantly, we're addressing different elements that we feel add value to this guest journey and continuously evolve the platform from its initial conception phase to what it is now. There's a lot that's gone in place and we continuously learn. We're also continuously learning with the industry and the types of guests that are in the industry at the moment. And it's up to us alongside the hoteliers to make sure that we deliver a platform that's the most advanced conversational AI platform for the sector as well.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you again for your time. Thank you for outlining the challenges that exist. Thank you for outlining the High Jiffy solution as a possible way of solving those problems, and just for giving up your time. I know you're very busy, but it's been great to have you join us. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Trevor.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Sean for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.